Welcome to the Super Speedway.
Welcome to episode 277 of the Super Speedway podcast, recorded Wednesday, May 3rd, 2023. I'm your host, Eric Young, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, James Cush. James, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm tired. I'm agitated. Has nothing to do with this wonderful podcast situation that we have.
Right.
So, I'm glad I'm here. I can kind of let it all out.
There you go.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat, so it could be fun tonight. We could anger all of our listeners, all three or four of them, and lose them forever. Maybe we'll gain one or two because they like our disgruntledness. I don't know. But I guess to start out with, I mean, we had to wait an extra day for the cup race. We got to watch it on Monday. And maybe with it being completely washed out on Sunday, it made it more positive to have it on Monday. But James, I don't think we can be disgruntled about the race, because I think it was a pretty good race, don't you?
Yeah, I texted you, I think it was probably Monday morning, or maybe it was Sunday. I've lost track of time. But I was super pumped that we had a Monday race. First of all, I was pumped that they moved the race time to 1 on Sunday, and I was already anticipating that would be my favorite race of the year. And then of course it went to Monday, which was just a joy for me. I don't know.
Yeah.
it works out well for me. I don't know. Maybe it's the type of work that I do, that I can kind of put it on and pay attention to it on the side as I'm, you know, doing what I have to do during work hours. But I was one of the few that had the Fox Sports app up and running on Monday. I was living my best life at work, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I'm in my current job. My old job, it was difficult, but my current job is Mondays are just a normal day. There's not like a specifically busier day of the week anymore. It used to be Monday was one of my busy days, but I have my own office and it's enclosed, so I can put it on the TV, and I have a TV and it's on all day anyway, so I might as well get my $80 worth of YouTube TV out of it and watch a NASCAR race during work. So
that's right.
And I actually, you know, I did a pretty good job this year. Usually I end up shutting the race off when this happens because I just can't concentrate on the race and the work I'm doing, but I just had the right work to have to do that. I was just as productive as always and got to watch the race and still notice what was happening and was pleasantly surprised with a pretty decent Dover race for what we've seen out of Dover the last few years. And with the questions with the car and all that, it all came together and we got something that was pretty satisfactory, I think.
Right. Yeah, it was, a little bit of a long first stage, which even me who was distracted by work and kind of paying attention, I was like, man, this thing is taking forever.
Yeah, but we had a couple natural cautions, which we just don't get that much anymore.
Right. And then the race started, the race kind of settled in and the drivers settled in and, you know, it seemed to just kind of flow naturally. And even the last caution when Joey, you know, spun out, that was, you know, actually I didn't mind that. The race was setting up really well either way. You know, you had Ross kind of bearing down on Truex, and then you had a natural caution that kind of set up this really interesting restart, which, you know, most of the time I'll kind of complain about tire wear, but I actually thought the way the tires were actually wearing out during the day was going to add to the race just a little bit there at the end, and I thought it played out really well.
Yeah, I mean, and we'll get into why, but, you know, I think Kyle Larson certainly kept it a little more interesting at the end, because I think that...
he sure did.
I think Chastain might have had a better shot at Truex at the end if he wouldn't have gotten held up for two laps. But yeah, I mean, it was interesting. I mean, I don't like it when somebody can stay out on two tires or take two tires and outrun somebody with four tires, but it was... Chastain was still gaining on him, so I guess I'm okay with the way it worked out here. I think it's the best of what we're going to get anymore. We're not going to get the vast tire fall off that we've had in the past at other tracks. I mean, there's still a couple tracks that are going to do that, but you're just not going to get that on a regular basis anymore with NASCAR. Actually, Denny talked about it on his podcast a little bit this week, kind of implied that maybe part of the reasoning is that the different chemicals that Goodyear has to use for tires now, that they just can't get the wear like they used to get. And it's, I don't know. I mean, Denny's not a tire specialist, so who knows if he's talking out his rear or not. Usually he is. So, but you know, it's a good explanation. We saw the tires really powdering the track versus laying rubber on the track. So, But there was wear and there was fall off, and it certainly led to an interesting finish. And old MTJ finally gets a win. He snaps back at reporters a little bit when they asked him about his long winless streak of 50 some races.
He snapped at his crew chief too. Yeah. I was going to say he was snippy from lap 300 on.
Yeah. So I'm starting to think that this whole MTJ James Small thing is overblown. That I think that's just how they are. They just argue.
Well, Chad and Jimmy used to fight quite vigorously on the radio.
How about there was a lot. About Junior and Junior, Tony Urie Jr. and Dale Jr.
I also recall Steve Letarte and Dale Jr. having not to that extent, but they used to spat a little bit. Matt Kenseth and Robbie Reiser used to duke it out. I mean, those are championship winning, you know, combinations and guys who won a lot of races together, between those three drivers and those crew chiefs that they had at those times. So
Kurt Busch and anybody who could hear him on the radio, you know, for example.
Right. Yeah. Kurt. Yeah. Kyle.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of James Small, I mean, I wanted to mention this right now, that last restart, he made what I thought was a brilliant, pit stop call.
Yeah.
Because
it won him the race.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Kept Truex. Well, I'll say this. It may not have won them the race, but it gave Martin Truex. It put the race in the driver's hands, which I always
appreciate. Put Truex on offense instead of defense.
Exactly. Exactly. And the way Ross Chastain's team, they're very good in the pits. They're very fast. And a four-tire stop, as you saw, that last pit stop was 9.5 seconds.
Right. That's incredible.
It's hard. It's so hard to compete with, you know, if you get beat off pit road on a four-tire call by Chastain, the race is probably over there. Yeah. And you put Truex out front.
You put four tires out front and fresh air. That's the killer combination.
Yes, and there was two other drivers, Blaney being one of them, that took two there to give him just a little bit of a buffer, and it was just enough. Even though Blaney, credit to Blaney, he really raced Truex hard, drove him clean, and it was a great, you know, mano-a-mano battle there for the win between those two on that restart.
Yeah, it was kind of cool to see two guys, like, desperate to get a win battling it out.
Yeah, and race each other. I love that you said the word desperate there, because they raced each other with respect.
Yeah,
and
which I would argue that those probably are two. If you were to ask me who are the most respectful drivers on the racetrack, those two probably would come up pretty high in that conversation.
Absolutely, and you know, Ryan hasn't had a win in what, 56, 57 races now. Same, almost the same as Truex. Yeah. Their winless streaks were pretty tied together for the most part. But you know, there's different guys in the field and different scenarios where they don't race each other that way. And, I have a lot of respect for Martin Truex Jr. one, but Ryan Blaney too, because, you know, we talk about it a lot of how guys are racing each other these days. And that just was an old school type of battle. I really like the way that last restart played out.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have anything to add there. It was good to see. It was refreshing and you know, especially after what we saw earlier in the race with our buddy Ross Chastain.
Everybody's friend, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, not Brendan Poole's or Kyle Larson.
No, or Kyle Larson's. Yeah.
Neither of them are real thrilled with him. So let's talk about the giant Ross Chastain-shaped elephant in the room. Chastain.
Again.
Yeah. Chastain runs into the back of Brendan Poole, spins him up, Brendan Poole. Brennan goes up the track, hits the wall, and takes out Kyle Larson, who arguably had probably the race-winning car, race-winning car, at least.
Yeah, every week it seems like he's got a race-winning car.
Yeah, and so, and as I mentioned, Larson, couple opportunities to get back at Chastain and held him up both times, but didn't rough him up, didn't wreck him, didn't do anything stupid, but certainly impeded Chastain's progress at the end. Probably prevented us from a pretty good battle, maybe on the last lap or two. Maybe. I don't know. It's hard to say. I think Truex still had enough on him. But it's hard to say because Chastain was closing up, and then Larson got there, and he lost all that ground, and then he closed right back up again and then just couldn't get any closer. So, But let's talk about it. Chastain's move. He apologized afterwards, James. I think you have a Do we have an audio clip, or are we just an impression of?
Yeah, actually, okay. I did. Yeah, I pulled an audio clip. And, you know, I didn't know what Ross Chastain's middle name was, but I figured it out. So in my research while I was getting this clip, I realized that his full name is Ross Napoleon Chastain. And here's the clip. Hold on, let me grab it. Oh, gosh, guys. Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to. I guess I have to go and apologize. Gall, what a crash. I'm so sorry. Okay, that was courtesy of Butt Crack Sports.
That might be worse than Jeff Gluck rapping.
Is it worse than the rap?
It might be.
I workshopped it a little bit, but I didn't spend too much time on my Ross Napoleon Chastain impression. But I think I'm going to probably have to break that audio clip out every once in a while if... you know, this keeps happening, and it's pretty high frequency. So maybe every other week I'll have to go and find that audio clip again.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you buy his oops, or, I mean,
no, he doesn't mean it. No, absolutely not.
So how does this stop? What stops this? Cause I think the only thing that stops this,
I really don't know what to do with this conversation.
So
anymore,
far, Ross Chastain has never lost on one of these deals. He never has.
That's right.
The closest he's come is Pocono when Denny put him in the wall, which I still argue was slight payback and slight just Denny running over his head and taking credit for it afterwards. Of course, we know what Denny did at Phoenix, but I think that, you know, Denny came out worse than Ross did on that deal.
Last year at Gateway, he tried to rough him up, and Ross was able to get away from him there.
I mean, this guy, he's leading the points, James.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
So he's not hurting right now. Nobody's getting him back. Brendan Poole said somebody needs to whoop his ass, but Brendan Poole wasn't volunteering to do it. Kyle Larson, we know won't fight because he wouldn't fight Bubba Wallace last year.
Yeah, he's on record saying he's not a fighter.
So what is there anybody who's going to step up and stop this, or are we going to argue? And this was argued on DBC this week by Brett Griffin. Is Ross the new intimidator? Are people scared of Ross Chastain?
I really hate that.
I really hate that. But are they scared of him?
I don't think they're scared of him. I think they're just... I think that... I don't... You know,
are they scared of him or are they scared of the system?
They might be scared of the system.
Really, though? Know. Really?
Nobody's... I don't understand... So, like, Denny Hamlin, you know, the Phoenix thing happens and Denny gets slapped on the wrist. And then you hear... Kyle Larson after the race, you know, after impeding his progress, just saying, I take it for what it's worth. It's a racing thing.
Right.
Because I think the first time somebody actually dumps him, NASCAR is going to slap him on the wrist.
Yeah, but
I really think that's going to happen.
You know what, though, James? If somebody really is causing that much of an issue, then isn't it worth it?
Somebody needs to... not use their race car.
Yeah.
Is what I think. And I think it needs to happen either in the garage or on pit road.
I have a question about that because, you know, I was thinking about that a lot. And I want to think back in history. There's been a lot of scuffles and fights, and we call them fights in NASCAR over the years. But how many times has anybody really paid somebody back with a fight? We've seen a lot of scuffles.
It doesn't happen.
We've seen
often,
a lot of wrestling matches. I mean, you could argue
Casey Mears and Marcos Ambrose. That was a fight.
Yeah, you got
that was one.
You got,
Daniel Suarez and Michael McDowell. Was that a fight?
Yeah, that was kind of a wrestling match. Yeah, that was a wrestling match.
Brad versus everybody at Texas.
Yeah, that one was a wrestling match too, and that one only escalated because all the crews there. You know, Kyle took the swing at Joey, but I think, you know,
Kyle walked away with a bloody lip, but that was a scrum.
Yeah. I don't think there was much there. Maybe
I'm sure
Sam Mayer and Ty Gibbs maybe.
Oh, that's another one. Yeah. I know Tony Stewart has mentioned before that he's had, situations inside the NASCAR hall that maybe could be considered a fight.
So, but who is there to even step up and do it? Who do you see in the garage that really has the physical presence to go after Ross? I mean, I don't think you've stood next to Ross. I've stood next to Ross. He's not a big dude, but he's not small either. I mean,
a lot of these guys aren't all these guys aren't giants.
Kevin Harvick's not swinging at anybody anymore. He's done. Michael McDowell maybe, but
Yeah, but we just saw he got his butt whooped by Daniel Suarez, yeah, who's not very big. True. Maybe Daniel's the guy, but he's on his team.
We just, yeah.
We don't have, and here's one of the reasons. I should be clear on why I hate the Intimidator. Because Dale Earnhardt was respected by his peers, and I don't think Ross is respected by his peers.
Yeah, no, all. I agree.
I think the... And you can tell by the way drivers talk about him now. And it's, Eric, it's a long list now. I mean, we've been talking about it for over a year, ever since he's, you know, kind of elevated his game, because Ross is good enough. He doesn't need to do this crap.
Right.
And I think that's what Larson was getting at. Like, hey man, this is the first stage. Why are you dumping somebody, you know, this early in the race when it doesn't really matter, especially when it's a Rick Ware racing right. car. You know, you can get around that guy, you know, in the next corner. You don't have to dump him. He's, you know, and Brendan Poole, I think that was probably his first next gen race. You know, he's just out there doing them a solid, basically, right. at this point. That team's, you know, not going anywhere. And, you know, how often do we really see the Rick Ware cars getting into really anything?
Right.
They've been, you know, fairly problem free for a while.
Right.
Now that one of their drivers isn't driving too, that helps.
So Earnhardt was respected later in his career, but he was respected once he got the Intimidator name, but when he was running people over when he was younger, he wasn't respected. You know, there were a lot of drivers that didn't respect him for that. You know, I don't honestly think that Ross went in there to wreck Brendan Poole. I think he was just aggressively racing a lapped car and ran in the back of him. But it doesn't change the fact that Ross is over aggressive and it is the first stage, yeah, as you said. And it just was, it's not Brendan Poole's fault. It's Ross's fault completely. So whether Ross did it on purpose or on accident, he still did it and he consistently does it. And that's the issue that everybody has with Ross. But James, I want to draw a comparison, and I know you know where I'm going to go because I've already done it to you this week. But there was a driver back in the 90s.
We've done it before as well.
There was a driver back in the 90s that had to stand up in a, well, he didn't have to, but decided to stand up in a driver's meeting and apologize for causing wrecks. He caused, you know, the wreck that you know, put Neil Bonnet out for a long time. He caused a big wreck at Pocono. I mean, he was causing wrecks every week. And that was a driver who you are very fond of in Ernie Irvin.
Yes.
And of course, Ernie learned his lesson and became a respected driver as time went on. But he wasn't at the time, and it was a real similar situation.
I agree, but also after that, you know, Ernie elevated his craft and became a legit championship contender.
But Ross still has time to do that.
Sure, but also I don't think, you know, lack of better terminology probably, but Ross is collecting bodies at a pretty substantial rate. I don't even think Ernie was doing that quite to this extent. He's really...
But what would we talk about if Ross Chastain wasn't racing?
Well, that's exactly how many times we had the Ross Chastain conversation,
right?
You know, it's... And I know we all had fun with the Thanks Ross thing at, you know, Richmond with Chris Bell, but you know, like, whether Chris was right or wrong in that certain situation, like, Ross hasn't done anything to, you know, gain anybody else's respect after that either. He got in trouble at Talladega for being aggressive, and that's just who he is. It's how, you know, and it's, you know, it's fun in sports to have that guy who's, you just have disdain, you know, maybe you have disdain for him, or he's kind of a wild card, you know, like he, you know, for me, like the way I kind of see Ross is he's kind of like Aaron Rodgers to me. I can't stand Aaron Rodgers for a lot of reasons, but the guy's super talented. You cannot deny that Aaron Rodgers is really talented, right?
Yeah.
But Ross is the same way. He's got a fast race car, and like you said, Eric, he's leading the points. He's a talented guy. It's just if he could rein in the, you know, the idiocracy a little bit, I think he'd be, you know, he'd be even better. I think that's where I get a little bit disappointed with Ross, because I think he can be even better than he is. He just gets himself in these situations.
You know, I think where Ross is that Ross is still, he's still in prove himself mode.
Driving for his life. Yep, I agree with that.
So he, I mean, this has been his entire career is driving for his life. You know, he had, he won himself an opportunity to drive for Chip Ganassi full time in the Xfinity Series. DC Solar pulled its crap, and he was immediately kicked to the curb, essentially. You know, he had stuff dry up in the Truck Series, and then he gets this opportunity in the Cup Series, which, and they talked about it on DBC this week, which was essentially, you know, he was the right price to fill the car that Chip Ganassi had at the time. And Chip Ganassi's organization was on a downward trend at this point. And
they were in trouble.
Yeah. And then suddenly they get bought up by Justin Marks and Pitbull. And now, you know, Chastain's in this, you know, winning seat. And he's still trying to prove himself that he belongs there, even though I think it's already known that he is. And I think that maybe that's a little unwarranted. But I guess when you've had the rug pulled out from you, out from under you as many times as Ross has, that you have to race that way. That's going to be your mindset because if you feel like if you ever let your guard down, you're going to be done. And, you know, we saw another driver this weekend that has also, you know, fought tooth and nail over the years to try and get an opportunity, finally get a win in the Xfinity Series, and Ryan Truex. I almost said Ryan Truex Jr. Well, you wrote it on the damn notes.
I did it on purpose.
So I mean, I get it too. You know, it's a tough sport, and before you know it, you're on the outside looking in, and he's doing everything he can. And I'll tell you what, James, again, he's leading the points. He's in the conversation every week, even when it's not even his fault that Talladega's in the conversation, you know? I guess maybe keep doing you, Ross. I enjoy it, James. Yeah. I wanted so bad, and I know Truex wouldn't have done anything either, but I wanted so bad to see him get to Truex's bumper just to see if he'd lay it to him a little bit and watch those two get mad at each other at the end of the race.
Yeah.
Cause they've already had a run in at Dover.
I know. Yeah.
I'm here for the drama. You know,
it's Eric. It's fantastic. That's, you know, again, that's just part of sports. Like, you got to have your heroes and villains, and, you know, a lot of people like Ross, and that's totally fine. Like, he's,
think of the minutes we've filled on this show in the last two years.
Oh my God. He's given us so much content, so much content. And the thing is, you know, I tweeted out during the race because Martin was leading again, and this hasn't happened in such a long time. I used to hate it when he was winning a ton of races, but when I heard it on the TV, I was like, man, this is so great. But Martin Truex Jr. screaming at his spotter to move the lap traffic was so nostalgic for me because maybe that's the way I'll feel about Ross someday. It's like, maybe when Ross calms down and he actually, you know, he gets into Kyle Busch or something in like 2030, I'll be like, yeah, I remember when he used to do that all the time.
Right.
And you feel a different way about stuff after you get a little bit of time in between. Tell me you didn't laugh at Martin Truex Jr. screaming about the lap traffic.
Oh, I always laugh at that. I always laugh at that.
Oh, he's the worst when it comes to that. It's the funniest dang thing. I used to hate it, but golly, man, it made me laugh. He's still doing it.
Couple other drivers to look at in this race. Brad Keselowski manages an eighth place finish. Both the RFK cars finish eighth and ninth. Keselowski had even a better run going, but hit that tire on pit road, had that loose tire, which put him in the back. But those two, man, I see them rounding a corner.
They are right there now. They're continuously improving. I would expect them both to be top 10, top 15 again this coming week.
Yeah. Josh Berry gets 10th place finish is filling spot with for Alex Bowman.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if we talked about that on last week's pod.
It's in the news discussion. We'll bounce into that. But good run for Josh Berry. Chase Elliott finishes 11th. I went too early with my Chase Elliott pick, James. He's not back fully yet.
Not quite there.
I figured Dover might be a place where you'd see him have that resurgence, but not quite. Denny Hamlin gets a fifth place finish too. That's worth mentioning.
We should probably mention William Byron was really good. The car faded on him late, but he almost led 200 laps.
Yeah.
He's last year, Eric, he won early and then kind of wasn't a factor. That 24 is not really going away.
No.
He's,
He's there every week.
He's a contender. He's a contender now, like a legit championship contender.
The only way to get him out of the way is to wreck him. Otherwise, unless he's got an issue, he's right there.
He's very good.
Kyle Busch leads 25 laps before speeding on pit road, putting himself in the back, getting involved in an accident, and just then all the Childress cars just sucked all day. Austin Dillon was terrible all weekend. He finished 27th. Ty Dillon comments on the drivers in the back that can't slow down. And didn't realize it was Kyle that ran in the back of him. Thought that was pretty funny.
Ty Gibbs was also really good, just to mention. Like, he was another, I mean, he ended up 13th after some late race kind of shenanigans. He lost a lap, but man, was he having another good day. He was setting up for maybe a top five there for a little while. Eric, every week I know you were pretty high on him coming into the season, and I think he's definitely vindicating your, you know, you being a little bit higher on this season than I was. I thought he was going to need a little bit more time, but he's adapted.
Yeah. He's not winning, but he's running consistent in what you'd hope out of a rookie. You know, this is the ideal rookie situation. This is better than coming out and winning a race and then wrecking, you know, five races and then winning, you know, or whatever. He's just consistently decent every week. That's good for him. And how about Corey LaJoie with a top 20 finish, top 15 finish, finishing 14th. This is a team again that, you know, we were talking, you know, 20th to 30th last year, but now we're talking 10th to 20th. You know, continues to get good things out of that car. So that's cool to see.
Absolutely.
Anything else worth talking about from this race?
No, I think we covered pretty much everything. I spent a lot of time on our boy Ross, but that was, like I said, love Monday races. Good.
Yeah.
Good form. I like that.
Yeah, I agree. It worked out pretty well. This is Martin Truex Jr.'s 32nd victory, which is kind of amazing to think that he's got 32 wins, especially considering how long it took him to really get rolling. You know, I mean, Truex, we've talked about before, is really a man of two careers. You know, he was basically down and out with when Michael Waltrip Racing went under and was able to claw his way back into relevance with Furniture Row. And really just create his second career, which is way better than his first career. You know, just incredible what he's pulled off.
He's got the, I think we've mentioned this years now, it's been years ago, but, his career and Dale Jarrett's career, very similar.
Yeah.
They kind of struggled along for a while, were decent drivers, then got one opportunity, turned it into a better opportunity. And you know, say like with Truex, he got to Michael Waltrip Racing after, you know, DEI started to really struggle.
Yeah.
And then, it's just funny. Like, I think a lot of drivers are given up on early. Martin never was, because I think he's just one of those guys. Is just one of those, you know, good guy in the garage area. Dale Jr., you know, had a lot of faith in him, and he won some championships in the Xfinity Series, and was rewarded at the back end of his career with just astounding numbers when Cole Pirn was on the box, and it's dwindled a little bit since, you know, Cole Pirn retired and left the sport, but. Nevertheless, still, you know, Martin's, you know, got one heck of a career, and also, you know, this week, you know, named top 75, one of the top 75 drivers of all time. So he's, you know, pretty established at that juncture.
Yeah. Very cool. Good for Truex. Nice to see him back in victory lane. Knew it was coming, eventually. Figured we hadn't seen the last of him, and I don't think we've seen the last of him yet this year. Of course, he was my pick to win the championship, so we'll see what happens with that too.
Right.
NASCAR Xfinity Series actually got to race when they were supposed to. They raced on Saturday at Dover. And we already mentioned Ryan Truex gets his first NASCAR Xfinity Series victory. It is his first in 89 Xfinity Series starts. Racing the Joe Gibbs Racing number 19 Toyota. Both Truex's go to victory lane on the weekend with the same car number, which is pretty cool. Good for Ryan Truex. You know, this kid has... we talk about clawing your way. He has done everything he can to stay in one of the top three NASCAR series and is doing this part-time gig this year. Got led 124 laps in this race. He's been, you know, he's been challenging for it earlier this season in that car as well. He's got a couple more races in that car this year. What do you think, James? What does this win do for him? What does the future look like for Ryan Truex right now?
He's
31 years old.
Yes, he is. He is younger than Josh Berry.
Right.
So I think we're coming to a point, Eric, and this happens every, 8 to 12 years, I guess. I'm just kind of speaking off the top of my head here. But we're starting to get some attrition at the top of NASCAR.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes room for guys. And there's not a whole lot of talent better than Ryan. I mean, there's guys who, are probably more coveted. But if you want somebody with a lot of experience who can, kickstart your Xfinity Series program, Ryan Truex might be one of those guys. He's, if Gibbs were to say, hey, you can run full time next year, I'd say he's a, championship contender right out of the gate for 2024. I wouldn't have any worry about saying that. I think he's that good. He's, looking at his career, he's just bounced around so much.
Right.
Kind of like his brother, but in maybe a little bit of a worse situation.
Yeah.
But he's never really had the seat, And now that he's,
that's the thing is Martin had opportunities and then just, they would fall away from him. Not of his doing. He went through, he had the Junior Motorsports ride or the, whatever it was with the 8 car or DEI. I don't remember what the heck team it was at the time in the Xfinity Series.
Was it Chance 2 back then?
Yeah, I think you're right. And then he moved up to the Cup Series and with DEI and that fell apart. And then of course the Michael Waltrip Racing thing fell apart. And
yep.
And I mean, honestly, the Furniture Row Racing thing fell apart too, but he was able to,
after winning a title,
win,
I know.
Yeah. And it gets, so, I could really see Ryan Truex getting an opportunity either in maybe a Joe Gibbs car, or maybe have Junior Motorsports go after him. I don't know how long they're expecting to have Brandon Jones there, but if Jones takes that Menard sponsorship somewhere else, there might be a ride open there at Junior Motorsports. So Truex is certainly, like you said, he's somebody you can look for, especially in the Xfinity Series with one of these top teams or team on the cusp. That could likely elevate your program and bring some experience, to it, and not tear up a bunch of equipment every week,
So. Exactly. Yeah. And, he has very limited Cup experience, but it's a different sport from what it was when he first broke in. I mean, it was 10 years ago. He broke through and raced, some Cup Series races and then ran nearly a full schedule for the old BK Racing cars. After that, but then he hasn't even raced since 2014 in the Cup Series. So, and then he's been very sporadic in the Xfinity Series, but like we were just talking about, now he's got 5 starts this year. He's got 3 top tens, 3 top fives and an average finish of 7th. I mean, that's doing exactly what you're supposed to do when you get in a seat like that. So yeah, I think
would be surprised to not see him in a full-time ride next year in the Xfinity Series.
Yeah, I think absolutely.
But he's got to bring sponsorship. He's got to bring some dollars with him. And that's been his issue, is he has not been able to bring the money with him. So we'll see what happens.
Absolutely, and it's a huge weekend for him.
Yeah.
Him winning is one thing, but then winning with his brother is just massive.
And not only that, but James, he didn't just win this race. I mean,
he kicked butt.
He led 124 of 200 laps. I mean, he dominated this race.
He did.
There was no question from the drop of the green flag that this car was going to be one of the ones battling for the win. The driver who led the next most laps to him led 41 laps, and that was
Sheldon Creed.
Yeah,
so, I don't know if I should retire that now that Vince Welch isn't with Fox anymore, but I like that clip, so we're keeping it. Yeah, so I mean,
it took you a long time to find that clip, so
right? I know.
You gotta keep it.
Yeah, that was, I've never searched harder for a clip than that one. I mean, only 5 drivers led in this race, and Truex led the bulk of the laps. So
won both stages.
Yeah,
basically stole playoff points from everybody because he's not going to be in the playoffs. He's not a full-time participant. So
this was a good old-fashioned butt whooping is what this was.
Well, it's what the Truexes do.
Yeah,
They
it is, especially at Dover.
Every lap and they win at Dover and then they lead a lot of laps when they lead. So
it's the home track,
taking notes from his brother. Yep.
Josh Berry gets second place finish. Allgaier third. So Junior Motorsports cars up there. Then Austin Hill leads 18 laps with a fourth place finish. Another guy that just will not go away in the Xfinity Series. He's just right there every week. John Hunter gets fifth. Sammy Smith, another good run. Sixth place for him. Cole Custer gets top 10. Been really quiet in the Xfinity Series this year. Kind of a lot more quiet than I expected. But 13 laps led on the day in this one for two times. So, yeah. Anybody else worth mentioning in this race? Trying to think. Parker Kligerman.
Sheldon was
Who'd Parker Kligerman flip off in this race?
I don't remember. I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah. He got wrecked and flipped somebody off. I don't remember who it was.
Oh, that's funny. It'll be funny when he interviews him later in the year.
Right.
For TV. Yeah. Yeah, Sheldon Creed got spun late. He was having a good day, and he's salvaged, but not the day he was probably looking for.
Yeah. There you go. NASCAR Xfinity Series in the book. We got a few news items to talk about. And speaking of old Josh Berry, he's the first one on our list. Rumors starting to fly, James, about Josh Berry and where he's going. Mr. Super Sub. You start being a Super Sub in the Cup Series, your name starts getting thrown around. And the rumor is, according to Bob Pockrisy, and I believe Adam Stern, is that Josh Berry is looking to sign with KHI Management. And that has, of course, gotten the rumors going that he may be Kevin Harvick's replacement in the four car. What do you think of that for Stuart Haas? You think that's a good move?
Yeah, I think so. There's not a whole lot out there. I was wondering what they were going to start to, wondering what they were going to try to do there. But Josh is proving himself here to be pretty stable.
Yeah.
And if KHI is going to back him and maybe some good sponsorship can follow him, I think that'd be a nice spot for Josh Berry to land. I don't know if it's the best perfect move for Stuart Haas Racing, but it's definitely a solid move. You're not going to be disappointed in what Josh Berry brings to the table.
Is it a good move for Josh Berry?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There's no room at Hendrick for him.
No.
But he gets to come in and have a quote unquote top tier seat.
Right.
I think that's He can't ask for a better opportunity unless it was with Hendrick.
I'm with you. I don't think there's another place for him to go. I think if he's going to get a cup opportunity, this is going to be the place to go. It's a top-notch ride. I mean, most of the drivers in the garage would be pretty damn happy with that four car. I think it's a good move for him. And I think, I can't remember. I think Josh Berry's name may have come up in the discussion when we talked about Harvick's seat a few weeks ago. But, he's one driver that you can bring up as a rookie, and I use air quotes around rookie, who has the veteran mindset as well, that you're bringing in a veteran even though he doesn't have the experience.
Well, and this year he's gotten such great experience. And even since we've last talked, I mean, he super subbed for Chase for a bunch of races.
Right.
And now he's in for Bowman for maybe 4 weeks or so. And that's top level equipment, top notch stuff. You can really see what Josh Berry is and really evaluate him as a talent when you've got the best of the best stuff. And, he's going to compete for top fives, top tens the rest of the way here when he's driving those cars.
The rumor I heard prior to this coming up was that Josh Berry was going to announce his cup ride at Charlotte for the Coke 600 weekend. So, maybe we will know sooner than later. I would assume they're going to have to name somebody pretty quick for that four car. The longer you wait, the more speculation you're going to throw out there and the more uncertainty you have for the team and everything. So,
and I think he has to wait until he's done subbing for Bowman
now
as well. And, if Anheuser-Busch is searching around for another driver, maybe they'd be happy to have Josh Berry, or maybe they, as we've, kind of rumored that they would go to Ross Chastain. So, if you can announce this as early as possible, maybe Anheuser-Busch would stick around. And I know that's a big deal for Stuart Haas. That's their biggest sponsor. So,
James, is there anything that Dale Earnhardt Jr. can't do?
Huh.
So he got North Wilkesboro back. He's trying to get Nashville back.
He did.
He made Josh Berry a cup driver. I mean, he is redneck Jesus. He really is.
He really is redneck Jesus, yeah. And don't forget Brad Keselowski, pretty successful out of the junior stable.
Yeah. So. Man, junior turns everything to gold. I'm telling you.
He's something else.
That's what we need. We need to get in with junior. I keep saying it. It's got to happen. Dirty Mo, call us up. Mike Davis, hit me up.
That's right.
We mentioned Alex Bowman. Mrs. Dover broke his back. Compression fracture, I believe. Suffered in a sprint car accident. Brought up the conversation again this week, James. We've had it on here a bunch of times. Should NASCAR teams stop these drivers from doing these extracurricular activities? Should these drivers be concerned about racing in things like sprint cars, for example, which have proven to be seem pretty dangerous over the years?
I don't know.
Hendrick's I like Hendrick's people say they're not going to clamp down on these guys. Denny said that Joe Gibbs Racing won't let them do it. That's why Christopher Bell doesn't race a sprint car, which we kind of knew. Who was it? Joey Logano pretty much made it known in the media center this week that Penske doesn't let him race anything else. I mean, I think as a driver, you probably should make the decision not to do it, but I guess it's your career and it should be up to you, right?
Yeah. And the sponsor, Ally, doesn't seem to have a problem with it. They were on the car. They were
on the car he wrecked.
And they were also on his car when he missed how many weeks last year when he wrecked his cup car, right? So,
And that's the thing. Like, you know, Denny said on his podcast that as soon as this happened, he called and texted Larson and Ricky Stenhouse. And he's like, why are you guys doing this? You shouldn't be racing those cars, blah, blah, blah. And they pointed out to him that, you know, Denny's had knee surgeries and shoulder surgeries and all this stuff, and he's hurt himself playing basketball. And so, you know, you just can't wrap these guys in bubble wrap. These guys are daredevils, essentially. So to expect them not to get in a car and risk their, you know, safety, that's what you want. You want somebody that's willing to put themselves in danger like that. That's what makes them a great driver. And I think to harness that, I think is a problem. And I don't think it's the right thing to do. But man, I tell you, I would love to drive a sprint car, but I would be scared to death to drive a sprint car. Those things scare me.
Oh my God. Yeah. I have no interest in doing that. Maybe in the video games. That's about as far as I'll go.
I mean, it would be something to feel it, but I don't know, man. Those things scare me watching. Don't get me wrong. I love sprint cars. But I'm on the edge of my seat every sprint car race when I'm there, when I'm watching on TV. I mean, it's to me the sprint car races. I'm more on edge for those than I am an ARCA race at Talladega.
Yep. When you think about, you know, think about how many laps Kyle Larson has run on dirt, probably more than anybody in the Cup, and probably in Cup Series history, maybe alongside of Tony Stewart, right?
Yeah.
Larson's never had a problem knocking on wood here. Larson's never had a problem.
Yeah, but is it inevitable?
Larson's also,
is he just cheating the system right now? I mean,
you say it's inevitable, and look what happened to Tony Stewart in 2013. Busted his leg and lost the rest of his season.
Yeah.
And was never the same after that. And he was the guy who ran dirt for a ton of time. I mean, he ran a lot of dirt.
Of course, Larson said this week people were talking about the odds, and he says he feels like he's beat the odds more at Talladega and Daytona than he has in a sprint car.
Definitely beat the odds last week.
Well,
I'll tell you that.
Last week, and he also, you know, tried to drive through the catch fence at Daytona back in the Xfinity days. So,
yes, he did.
You know, so he's definitely had a couple scary wrecks on the super speedways too. He flipped down the backstretch at Talladega. So maybe he's not wrong.
It's racing, man. And he got fitted for his IndyCar seat for next year already.
Right.
This week. So he's gonna do that too. You know, Eric, the risk versus reward thing, I think NASCAR and the teams benefit more from these drivers getting out there than they do if the drivers do get hurt. Especially with the point system we have now. You know, Alex Bowman missing 4 weeks isn't the end of the world for him, and long as he's not, you know, this is an injury that will heal.
These teams have done this to themselves too, because these teams have pushed NASCAR to shorten up weekends so they don't need to be at the track
as much.
They've gotten rid of testing. They've gotten rid of the stuff that kept these drivers busy during the week. Well, now the drivers don't have anything to do, so they go out and race. And you know, you got what you wanted. It's cheaper now in theory. So you guys are out there racing and risking themselves.
Tony, and right before this happened, I listened to Tony Stewart on the Dale Jr. Download, and Tony said something that is kind of haunting in retrospect. He said, "If you want to be good on dirt, you have to race a lot.
Yeah.
Like every night of the week, you got to be out there. And he said, I don't have the time and I, you know, I can't really do it. And Alex Bowman, he's kind of moonlighting, right?
Yep.
So not to say that lack of experience is the reason or anything like that. It's just, you know, the fact of the matter is he's not as experienced as some of these guys that are out there doing it all the time. And, you know, things are going to happen.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's disappointing. And bummer for Alex Bowman, certainly having a good season. He'll bounce back, you know, more than likely come back and probably win a race and get in the playoffs. And, you know, this system works. I think it was Chase Elliott mentioned in a media session this week that, you know, part of the issue is that Chase had his issue and then Alex has his issue. And if they weren't back to back like they are, it would mm-hmm. be less of a conversation point. But because they're so close to each other, this is all we're talking about. So,
right.
I don't know. Again, as a driver, I would probably want to concentrate or do everything I could to not jeopardize my opportunity in the Cup Series. But, you know, and not to say that Larson doesn't care, but, you know, Larson's not fighting for his life in the Cup Series either. If the Cup Series thing goes away, which it's not, but if the Cup Series thing goes away,
it'll race dirt
cars. Yeah, exactly.
Well, it did go away. Remember how great he was?
Yeah, exactly. So
winning every week.
I mean, he doesn't have anything to worry about. He's got opportunities. So
he's in a different area code than pretty much everybody else in the garage.
He can pretty much step in any series he wants to right now and get a ride. So
he's a freaking unicorn, man. Yeah. You could tell me, hey James, you could go into the future and you could come back and say, hey James, guess what? Kyle Larson won the F1 World Championship in such and such a year. And I say, yeah, that probably happened. Yeah. I believe that. Yeah. I believe that will happen.
Yep.
Because that's how freaking good that guy is. He's good at everything, man.
He is.
He's unbelievable.
He is. He is. Austin Dillon had his appeal this week for their penalty. The appeals board upheld. Jeez, I'm trying to read. Struggling with that. Upheld the penalty is assessed to Austin Dillon, $75,000, 60 points for rules infractions at Martinsville. So what do they do, James? I think Steve Letarte talked about it on one of the NBC podcasts. But basically the way he described it was that it had to do with how the underwing assembly was attached to the car. The underwing is a solid piece that goes to the bottom of the car that deflects the air. It's now most of the aerodynamics on these Cup cars with this new next gen car. And apparently it had something to do with the way it was bolted, which allowed, once the air got in there, to manipulate and maybe increase the gap and allow more air through. And that's where the issue was. So it had to do with the hardware mounting this to the car. I would imagine it probably wasn't something that really had a big effect at Martinsville, where he got penalized for it. But I would be willing to bet if you were to look at, say, you know, the 8 car or the 3 car in the weeks leading up to that, that probably they had the same stuff on the cars. So, not surprising that the penalty was upheld. I think that's something that, you know, there's really no denying what they did. So.
Yeah, and, you know, I think we're at the point, too, where it seems like every couple of weeks somebody's going to get nabbed here.
Yeah.
That's just the way it's going
to
be.
Yeah, you don't want to be the random going to the R&D center. But, you know, how random is that, too? You know, I would imagine a lot of times that car going to the R&D center is going because somebody pointed something out.
Right.
You know, somebody saw something and they're like, ooh, let's randomly pick this car.
Yep.
So... other news item, which we didn't have on the list because both you and I forgot about it, but I don't know how. Legacy Motorsports, James.
I forgot to put in the notes there.
They're switching manufacturers. They're going Toyota racing next year.
Oh my god!
This is
the memes.
This is on
the internet.
An absolute brilliant move for Jimmy Johnson and company over there, because you go from being, you know, a fourth or fifth place team in the Chevrolet ranks to now third probably in Toyota.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And Toyota, Toyota historically, I mean, Toyota, let's put it this way.
Second.
Toyota has more resources available than teams they have to put them into right now. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, Toyota's looking for teams to put resources into. So these guys are going to get the same treatment that JGR and 2311 is getting, right? I mean, to be fair, they're probably equal number one team over there.
Yeah, I would say they're probably 1A or 2A and 2B, however you want to put them. It's hard to compete with the big dog at JGR, but, you know, all the engines come from the same place at Toyota. Yep. So you've got that working for you. And, you know, I got to wonder, you know, you see RFK making some strides. You've got Trackhouse that's bumped itself up.
These guys have gone backwards.
Yeah, they're not. They're not terrible. They're not great. They're right smack dab in the middle. Yeah. I just don't know how much room, like, somebody's going to have to come back down.
Yeah, that's true.
And I don't know, like, if we expect Legacy to go up, who comes down? And, I don't know.
Or does everybody just rotate at the top?
That might be. Maybe that, you know, and I don't think parity's a bad thing.
No.
Hendrick seems to be separated from everybody right now. A little bit, but other than that, you know, what happens with Stuart Haas and Penske? Like, they're not, you know, those teams are not doing. I mean, I know Penske just won a championship, so I should probably be careful.
Truth be told, there's 38 cars every weekend, 36 to 38 cars every weekend, and only one driver wins. You know, right. Only one team wins. Yeah. So you're never going to be, you know, there's always going to be a limited amount of space at the top.
Right.
So, but yeah, it's definitely getting tighter up there if these guys are going to compete at that level.
Well, and you see how hard RFK has been pushing and starting to really make some progress. And I just wonder, you know, is a manufacturer switch really going to be what pushes, you know, pushes Legacy up higher?
How much effect does the manufacturer have on it anymore other than just the aero shape of the cars? Because and the motors, because otherwise it's all common parts. They're the same cars. It's not like there's a lot of wiggle room for how they can set them up. They're pretty much, you know, they're pretty much IROC cars anymore.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
and you do get some technical alliances and things that can help.
It's interesting. It's definitely interesting, but not surprising. You know, even if Richard was still at the helm there, Richard was never afraid of switching manufacturers, but as we know, he's kind of just a figure there anymore at this point, but
yeah, doesn't have really any affiliation anymore.
This was one of those things when I saw the announcement, I was like, oh, but there was none of that was surprise. It was just like, interesting, big news, but not a surprise.
No, it's very similar to when Tony Stewart switched to Ford. It just made sense, even though, like, man, Tony Stewart and Chevrolet are pretty much synonymous with each other. Even in, you know, even though Tony did drive a Toyota there for a year.
Yeah.
It's just a hard thing to fathom. Jimmy Johnson, not, you know, being backed by Chevrolet, but you know, Jimmy and Chevrolet, their legacy is tied pretty tight. Even, you know, if he explores this option, it's not well, the world.
And worth noting too, he's still cleared for the Garage 56 injury. So,
yeah, he's fine. He's, you know, he'll be fine.
But, I mean, it just, like I said, not surprising at all.
Well, if you're Toyota too, Eric, you got to think of this. You just got Eric Jones and Noah Gregson back into the fold. And
that's true.
Some really talented drivers that you've now got access to basically be in your program alongside some really great talent. I mean, Toyota's drivers now, that's one hell of a stable. When you look at Reddick and, you know, Chris Bell and Denny Hamlin, I mean, it's pretty slick when you've got some teams, any of those guys can win, you know, be really good.
And Toyota was not quiet about the fact that they were planning on signing a major team. You know, there were rumors about it last season, you know, so this is not a surprise to see Toyota. Toyota has been actively saying that they need to add to their roster. And you can see it on super speedways when, you know, these manufacturer alliances occur and there's just not very many Toyotas to align. So this will be a big, big improvement for Toyota as well. Who knows what happens with charters down the road? You know, could they potentially add another charter at Legacy? You know, they're going to want to add another charter at 2311. So now you're talking maybe two more cars in addition, yeah, over the next, you know, 3-4 years that are added to the Toyota fold. It's just, it's good all around for and Toyota and the definitely teams.
Definitely cheaper to align with a team versus having to buy a charter.
Yeah,
too,
definitely.
Think of it that way. Yeah. Also, you think of it, this aspect, it increases their pipeline with GMS,
yeah,
in the lower series, which I know they've made changes after the departure of KBM, but this increases their, you know, this increases their footprint in the lower series as well.
Yeah.
So it gives them, you know, a nice little pipeline for young talent to come and go if needed. So pretty cool.
There you go. That, I believe, is our news for the week, James.
Did it.
This weekend we go to Kansas Speedway. The NASCAR Camping World, no, NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series is in action, as well as the NASCAR Cup Series. We get to make our picks, and I am still picking first because Chase Elliott didn't do terrible with 28 points, but James did win the race with Martin Truex Jr. with 49 points and increases his lead some more. It's now a 212-point lead. But I'm clawing back, James.
You scored 27 more points than you did last week. So you got to think that's improvement.
That is,
you know?
That is positive. I only lost by 21 points this week instead of 31. So that's good. That's a big improvement for me. I'm swinging for the fences this week, James. I won't say who I wanted to pick until after you make your pick. I'm swinging for the fences. I'm going with the guy who won this race the last time we were here, and I'm going Bubba Wallace as my pick. Bubba for one of these tracks, and I'm going Bubba.
Well,
sorry, Bubba.
Either way, whoever you picked, I was picking the other one.
Yeah, I know. That was my fear, because I really wanted to pick the 45, because the 45 has won both times here last year.
Yeah, yeah. So you get Bubba, I'll take Tyler Reddick.
Yeah, you probably made the right choice, but I don't know. Reddick doesn't have good numbers here, so
yeah. But I will take whatever that team provides him.
Yeah, I know.
It's a different ball game with Tyler now. So I was waiting.
I know.
I knew at Kansas I was taking a 23-11 car. Just depended on which one that was going to be. So you made the choice a lot easier for me, because I was actually leaning to just take Bubba and be done with it.
I was debating, despite the fact that I've gone all in all season on Kevin Harvick for Michigan, I was debating saving Bubba for Michigan. But
he'll be good. He'll be good at Michigan. Yeah,
I know. So he'll probably wreck it. I'm sorry, Bubba. I'm so sorry for jinxing you this weekend. But yeah, that's my pick. And I am more than happy to talk about fantasy this week if you want to, James.
You are very happy. Well, you know, Eric, you won and I won.
Yeah,
so that's
right?
A good thing.
I won the thing that I hate.
Yeah, you did. You beat Baron Speedway, who, man, he's just not going away.
Barely beat him, but I beat him.
That's all right. And then Shut Up Roger was third. But yeah, this is your second win of the year. So well done. And this is the first time I'm looking at the overall standings. I haven't even taken a peek yet. But Baron's way out in front. Tandem Draft Tone is second.
I can't believe I'm in fifth.
Yeah, Mickey Elliott's third. You did. You repassed me.
Yeah.
So I bumped down to sixth. You go up to fifth. You're 11. It's funny. You're 11 points behind fourth. That's Ranger. And I'm 11 points behind you in fifth. So we got a little bit of a middle of the pack situation going here. But we're all in good shot of third here between the three of us. But yeah, it's... I tell you what, I don't want to say it's over, because Baron's he's way out there, but he's putting on a clinic in the fantasy league. But nice win. You got another W. Well done.
Yeah, don't anybody get used to it. Any shout outs this week, James?
I mentioned it earlier, but the Dale Jr. download was fantastic. Obviously
it was good.
You alerted me to it with, when Smoke was coming on, learned a little bit about Smoke.
Yeah, me too.
The whole getting married situation was pretty interesting. And then, he's not selling his house anymore. So
right.
It's
off the market, James, you can't buy it.
I know. So, but when Dale Jr. said he was disappointed that Tony was selling his house, I was like, I totally relate. I thought it was disappointing as well that he was selling his house. So, but that was, you know, Tony tells a funny story about him and Leah getting on the phone with their, with their sponsors, who are complete opposites of each other. Pennzoil Mobile One, and then Ford and Dodge. That was pretty funny. Yeah. So pretty cool. I just enjoyed the download again, and was happy to hear it. And he's got Bill Davis on this week.
Yes.
So that's another good guest. He's killing it with the guests. Really good stuff.
Oh, they do great stuff over there. I guess I'll shout out Dirty Mo as well, because why not? That's usually my go-to. If anybody wants to participate in the Denny Hamlin's Bracket Challenge, they are doing one at Dirty Mo. They've got prizes available. You can go to dirtymomedia.com and sign up for it. The link's right at the top. I'm definitely going to fill it out. It's starting this week, so starts with Kansas and goes from there. And it's interesting. Denny claims that he got calls from Marcus Smith and some folks at NASCAR and that there's some interest in it, so... You know, maybe we're the dumb ones, James. Maybe it really is a good idea.
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll see. We'll see. But I'm gonna participate in this bracket challenge. I think it'll be fun and see what happens. But
you let me know how you do.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure I'll do just as terrible as everywhere else. So
if you win that thing, I'm gonna laugh too.
That'd be awesome. If we win, we get a shout out on Denny's podcast. So you can be sure I'm gonna have him shout out the podcast and not me. So
nice.
Any black flags this week, James?
Oh, I think I covered that earlier. I'm gonna give myself the black flag for that audio clip I pulled.
There you go. Yeah, I'll agree with you on that. I'm gonna throw out a reverse black flag. I guess we'll throw out a checkered flag at NASCAR for calling the race early on Sunday. That was nice to know what the hell was going on without having to sit all day and wait for the rain to not stop. So good on them for first of all making the jump on Saturday to push the race up an hour. And then Sunday not waiting all day to call it. So good on them. I wasn't there. I've been at those race weekends where you sit at the track until 6 o'clock at night, only if you have them call it. Those days suck. It's much better to know what you're doing and just be able to hang out for the day than have to, which I can't say that for sure, cause I've never gotten to do it for a race that's been rain delayed. I've always sat there and waited for it to be canceled. But yeah, good on them. So. James, where can people find you on social media if they want to hit you up during the week?
At James Cush on Twitter.
You can find me at T Super Speedway on Twitter. You can find the podcast on Facebook at facebook.com/TheSuperSpeedway. Our website is thesuperspeedway.com. You can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Anchor. Subscribe for new episodes each week. And if you go to anchor.fm/TheSuperSpeedway, you can leave us an audio message and we might just play it on the show. Kansas Speedway this weekend. We are inching ever closer to the All-Star race at North Wilkesboro Speedway, which if anybody follows their social media accounts, they're posting some really cool stuff on there. It's going to be pretty neat. They're actually doing, that's another shout out, I guess, James, they're doing an open house. I don't remember when it is, but if you go to their
social media stuff,
if you're in the North Carolina area and want to swing by there and check out the track for free, you can do that. Pretty cool. I highly recommend it. That place is awesome. It was awesome in the dilapidated state. I can't imagine what it's like now. Camping World Truck Series, Craftsman Truck Series, not Camping World anymore for Pete's sakes.
$1 in the jar.
Right. Craftsman Truck Series, NASCAR Cup Series in action at Kansas Speedway this weekend. Hoping for a nice competitive race, nice wide track at Kansas. Good showcase for the next gen car. We'll be back next week to break it all down, talk about it all, and chat with you. Until then, everybody, let's go racing.